Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us.
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
PWO! Talent on set is getting pissed.
Yeah.
Oh.
Spooky fingers.
Spooky fingers.
I gotta hit him with the, hey yo. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, to none other than Pointless Wrestling Opinions. I'm the big dog, Chasey J. I'm joined alongside my boys. I got Luke and I got Chandler. Luke, how the hell are you?
Good, baby. Another day, another dollar, right?
That's what I like to hear, baby. That's what I like to hear. Chandler, how you doing?
I'm doing good. Can't complain, man.
When's the last time we did this? I don't even remember when we did this.
A couple years ago, maybe.
Yeah, that sounds about right. Remember we did it through Xbox, too?
Yeah,
we didn't have problems either.
I was on
either.
That one time, but that was probably a couple years ago.
Fuck you, Luke. Oh, Jesus. All right. Make sure you follow us at PSO Sports 1 on Twitter and Instagram, and Pointless Sports Opinions on everything else. We got a website as well if you want to read some articles. Go ahead, jump on there. I'm going to be writing one soon. We got a lot of podcasts coming out this week. We have this one. If you haven't checked out the Juan Soto trade one, that one's pretty good. And then me and Nathan, we're going to have one at the end of the week as well. But who gives a shit about all those other sports right now? Because we're talking about the best sport in America. We're talking about good old-fashioned WWE. Luke, what'd you think of SummerSlam?
Sports entertainment, first off.
That's right. Sports
entertainment. SummerSlam, baby. Well, the opening match, I thought that was the right move.
Bro, ooh, I love this match.
You gotta have a strong opener.
Yeah, true. And this was definitely it. Becky Lynch versus Bianca. Belair, the women's championship match. Bianca won. I mean, it was a great match, though. There's a lot of good spots in this match.
There was.
What did you guys think?
I liked it. I thought it was a really strong opener, especially because what I thought was really cool, I didn't even think about it, but that was what they did last year whenever they had Becky return and all that.
Yeah.
And take the title off her really fast and everything. It was a really strong opening match. It was really good, I thought.
I think this is the second time they've opened up back-to-back pay-per-views.
Really?
I think so.
Yeah, I think so.
This could have been co-main event, and I wouldn't have been pissed. Because these ladies, they put on a show. Chandler, you're a big Becky Lynch fan, or you used to be. I don't know what your updated version of it is, but what think of her performance in this?
I thought it was really good.
Do you like this new gimmick she's been doing?
I'm a heel gimmick. I honestly don't care what. Well, not anymore. But
yeah, at the end, that
point,
she helped Bianca.
It looked like they went back to the whole the man gimmick and all that. But I'm a sucker for it, so I don't care what she's doing really. Cause, like, the face and the heel gimmick worked for me. But I liked her throughout her whole title reign, even up to this point too. I liked it a lot. But I like that they're going back to the man with it though.
At the end of the match, we had the big reveal. We had Bayley come out. Everybody popped.
She returned after I think a year.
Yeah, it's been a long time since we've seen Bayley out there. She comes out with Dakota Kai, and I don't know who's the other girl. I don't know her.
Io Shira or something like that.
Io Shira? Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm really bad. Was she NXT?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Then I'm sorry. I don't really watch much NXT. I need to get back on it. Chandler, is she good? Should I be pumped?
Yeah, her and Dakota Kai, I like both a lot. I was really glad to see they got back.
I think Dakota Kai re-signed or something, because wasn't she cut?
Yeah, she was one of the ones that was cut. All of them together blew my mind. I was stoked.
Beginning of the Triple H regime, this is what this pay-per-view was too. Is it's that opening for Triple H?
Yeah.
But man, I like the confrontation at the end. Becky turning face, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what it looked like. I mean, I don't know.
She hurt her shoulder actually in that match, and on Monday Night Raw, she's gonna be out for a little bit too. So
didn't she retire?
Yeah.
Wasn't that the big angle? Yeah. She retired.
Like Daniel Bryan, right?
Like Mark Henry, too. Mark Henry, retirement. Yeah, Ric Flair's coming back again, too. Puerto Rico, baby.
True.
Becky lost this match. Who do we got next? Who
I think
do you it's
Bayley.
Next in line? Really?
Why would she come out there?
That's
what I mean?
True. But maybe they could save that. You could maybe, break this up in storytelling. You don't need to shoot this out next pay-per-view.
Obviously, who's the two coming back, supposedly? That left because of Vince.
Sasha and Naomi?
Yeah, I saw something about on Twitter where it's those three, with those two, and then Bianca versus those three.
Oh.
That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
I'm not opposed to that.
The champ and then the women's tag champs versus them.
Well, damn,
that makes sense too, because Becky just got injured, so I don't know who the hell you'd have team up with Bianca anyway.
Yeah,
and it's also we don't got Vince anymore, so Charlotte's not going to be involved.
Where's she? For once? She's been gone too.
I don't know. She's been upset too, hasn't she? I thought she was pretty pissed off.
I thought it was something to do with her getting married or I don't know.
Oh, Andrada.
Andrada, baby.
wanted to let Rick Tua win.
But I really like this first match. I think, like I said, I think
it was a strong opener.
Main event. Great opener.
The ending got people on their feet.
That little
Bayley and all them coming out.
The spot with the leg drop on the side of the barricade, I thought was dope. I was like, oh, I was literally had my mouth open. I felt like a little kid. And then of course we got Luke's favorite match here. I know Luke's been waiting. This is the only reason that he wanted to bring PWO back.
That's right.
Because Logan Paul, who's been making one hell of a splash, not only actually in the wrestling ring, but just in general. He fought The Miz. He beat him, and he looked pretty damn good. What's your guys' thoughts? What'd you think about Logan Paul in the WWE ring at SummerSlam?
That's my boy. I love it, man. I can't get enough of it. Can't wait to see him wrestle some more matches, but I thought he looked really well. He looked better than his first match at WrestleMania.
I'm trying to think, Chandler, who do you think, his style represent? It kind of did, have, a Latino Heat vibe to me. Not as technical, of course, but just that, how he could radiate that heat, but also it's a face thing. People were cheering for him. They were pumped for him, too,
Yeah, well, I think that's the biggest thing that he talked about whenever he resigned and stuff, too. He really wants to be seen as a face. But style, I really don't know. I don't know. That's a good question. I didn't actually stop to think about that.
No, you're good.
Freaking,
I put you on the spot.
No, what was it? Obviously not technical or anything, but that's not what he's there to do. That's not what he did what he was supposed to do very well.
I think, you know what's a better, I think I shouldn't have said Eddie. I should have said maybe more like a Shane McMahon. Is that
yeah.
a good one?
Oh, yeah. He seems like be more of like a spot guy, like a thrill-seeking kind of guy.
Yeah, a more athletic, young Shane
oh,
McMahon.
Oh, he's definitely yeah. athletic.
Take you those know? Big spots.
Hell yeah. yeah. You know, Shane was doing big spots.
Miz yeah. didn't look good and stuff. And the match
and he took a big spot, obviously. He saw him jump off the turnbuckle. Yeah.
I literally, well,
the
I
table.
Went to, yeah, I went back and rewatched that. Three times because I that honestly scared me. I was like, I just didn't for some reason thought he wasn't gonna make that. I don't know why, but it was
he,
really
he was
good.
Pretty good. That was clean, like that was it a was. Good. I mean, he was a little short. I think he might have rocked the ribs a little bit, but he I think have. I mean, it was still a pretty good landing for that was a far ass jump.
That is,
I would have hit the front of the fucking thing.
He got
thing.
Some air too. Did you see the photos?
Yeah, he was,
there,
yeah,
he was up there.
Man, I love the spots. They give him a lot of spots. I think Miz was the perfect first opponent for
he's
this
like,
dude.
He's like guys that's just like a really good person to have, I feel like. Just they've done it with him so many times in the past with other people. Like, look at, like, well, who was it? Bad Bunny? Like, so many yeah. other celebrities. They always have Miz there for that.
John Cena?
Okay. I do think it's funny, though. I put in the notes that he doesn't have a finisher. And he just uses other people's finishers.
Yeah.
He used the Fatal 4, the skull-crushing finale when AJ Styles came out there to take out Ciampa. And then what else did he use? Oh, the Miz's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So
I thought AJ Styles coming out to help made sense, but him using the forearm I thought was kind of weird. But like you said, he doesn't. I don't think he really knows what his finisher's going to be yet. So
my thing is what if that's his finisher? What's that? What if that's like his gimmick thing? Like
well, he's
just
done
uses
the frog splash twice now, so.
It's a pretty nice frog splash.
Yeah, he gets up there for sure.
Yeah, I like it. I enjoyed it.
I mean, I wouldn't be opposed if he just stole the opponent's finisher every time, you know? Just like that one douchebag you'd play in the old WWE games.
Yeah.
And he would play you, like when I would play my brothers. And they would just, like, you know, I'd be the Undertaker, and they would hit me with the last ride, you know, just to piss me off, make me cry. he also just signed a multi-year deal. What do we think is realistically? Yeah, he announced it on Twitter and everything. I'm super excited for it. What is realistic? Like, can this guy be, like, mid-card champ, like, intercontinental champ? I'm just freeballing here. Like, what are we thinking?
I think he could be. It depends on like what type of deal he signed. Is it going to be like he shows up when he wants, like Brock or Goldberg, or what's it going to be? I don't know. Like, is
all I know is
consistent.
All I know is what he's saying on Twitter, which a lot of it is I'm in this like I'm serious about this. I'm trying to get like Luke knows. Luke's been a huge follower for him of him forever. Luke, what do you think about it?
I'd say U.S. title.
Nice. I think he would make a nice U.S. top. He would be good if he would play the heel role and just have like a big, like a Amos or somebody just like, you know, backing him up. I think he'd be that good, like, you know, kind of like a cool Dolph Ziggler.
I think his charisma alone could like put eyes on the belt.
Yeah. And it would definitely get people talking. Everybody would get either really happy or really pissed, one or the other. But, next one, we got Theory, Theory versus Bobby Lashley, U.S. title match. We knew this was going to happen. He was going to eventually drop this belt. If he was, I mean, he's got the money in the bank, so why the hell would
he have the U.S. championship? He already lost the belt. It's on Bobby.
Yeah, I know. He lost it this man. Oh, well, anyway, you knew he wasn't going to get it back. But I mainly want to talk about Theory here. What do we think about him being Mr. Money in the Bank? And realistically, is this the guy that's going to dethrone Roman?
Here was my take going into SummerSlam. I was thinking, since he has Money in the Bank, he's versing Bobby for the U.S. title. He wins the U.S. title, wins the championship at the end of the show, and becomes Seth Rollins 2.0.
Ooh.
But it didn't happen. He lost to Bobby and then obviously got his ass beat in the main. So.
Yeah.
I on it for a second. Do some huge swerve and actually do that like he was saying for weeks. I was like, that would have been nuts. That would have like catapulted him. That would have been crazy.
I mean, I Do you think maybe a Triple H influence might have swayed it away from that? Because it did seem like it was kind of setting up for that.
Is he also the next guy in the company, though?
Exactly.
Do you see him as that?
Vince thought so. Vince was all on him. We don't know. I don't know what Triple H thinks about this guy.
Yeah, I'm actually curious about that. If he does cash in, there's no way it's going to be... Well, with how much they've built Roman up, I think they want, like, a definitive loss so they can put over the next guy. I think whoever wins the belt from Roman next, I think that's who Theory's going to cash in on.
Or you'd have to have something happen. You'd have to have Roman get hit by, like, a truck or something. and then have him get cashed in.
Like, honestly, what is it? Kind of getting off track, but I think the next... versus McIntyre.
Yeah,
Drew
McIntyre.
I think McIntyre can take it, and then I could see Theory running out right after and cashing in.
Well, it's at his hometown, or home whatever, Scotland.
Homeland? Homeland?
And that could get Theory some huge big-time heat, too.
Oh, man. Honestly, Chandler, you need to fucking be a writer. That's genius. Him going out there and just, like, you know.
That would be absolutely nuts. But and I think they want to give McIntyre his big, like, live audience title win, too, because it was during COVID. So, who knows? But Theory, going back to that, I think they're doing good with him. I think how they're building him up is good.
He could do, like, a old-school heel move and have, like, the Scotland flag and, like, rub it in between his ass stuff. Shawn Michaels hit, put the flag in the nose?
Oh, he put his nose. Oh, my God.
I'm glad, you know, Bobby is a U.S. champion. Bobby needs to be a champion. He has to hold some belt. Bobby's badass. This second run from Bobby at the beginning, I was like, shit, I don't like it, you know, cause I mean, his first run was, I mean, uneventful except for the ECW title, which meant a lot though. Like that was really cool. But you know, this one, it was kind of coming out flat. Now he's got a couple title runs, and now he's getting this U.S. run again. I like it. I like it a lot.
I think they're doing good with him, too.
I'd like to see the team come back for Bobby, though. What was that team called?
Yeah.
The
Him Shelton.
Team? Something like that. Hurt Business?
Yeah, the Hurt Business. I'd like to see that come back, though.
They broke them up so early.
They pulled the plug, and it was doing nothing but good things. Why'd they do that?
It was Shelton and who's the other
Cedric.
One? Cedric, yeah. Yeah, and it,
he's
I mean,
on AEW now, but...
Yeah.
Like champions. I mean, you still have, what's his name? Apollo Creed? He's still there. Not
he's
Apollo
in NXT,
Creed.
I think.
Or Creed, whatever the hell his name is. Yeah. You know, he's had 300 freaking names. I don't know.
NXT.
He's been doing good on there, too. I did see a couple. But I'm saying, if you want to call somebody up, like, that's a good guy to run with Shelton. Those are two similar athletes. You know, they kind of got
COVID
the same
era, though, wasn't it? That's why it got broken up. So,
yeah,
I think so. And I mean, they had a title, like tag team title run. They were Hurt Business was dope.
And
Bobby, I
think, was champion.
He was.
Yeah, Bobby was the.
And then out of nowhere, they just had Bobby break up the group, and I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Yeah, Shelton and Cedric started fighting for no reason. I was like, what the hell is this?
Him. I was like, what is going on here? At Vince booking, that's what it is.
MVP is manager career, though. 10 out of 10, dude. I want that dude in my corner. That guy is a guy I'd want. You know, that I love his manager run here. So then after that, we had the Mysterios, Rey and Dominic versus Damian Priest and Finn Balor of Judgment Day. The old WWE pay-per-view. That's the way I remember. I always want to say Armageddon because I get the two pay-per-views confused. Mysterios, always. I mean, Rey's a god. He puts on 5-star matches. Dominic has improved so much. This is a pretty good match. This was pretty interesting. I mean, tag matches with the Mysterios and Finn Balor just alone would be good. But Priest, I think he's a good, nice, young upstart. The big thing of this match, we finally got to see what these little vigilantes were. And it was just Edge. It was Edge coming out with a shaved head and tighter sunglasses. Well, I get it. I mean, we've been hyping the Edge return, but he's been gone a month, right? And they shut down the Judgment Day thing way too early, first off. Why did they, like, what's the point of even, like, starting it up that, I mean, I just don't get it.
I heard it was like they what Cody got injured, so they needed another face to fill in. So what I heard is why they shifted Edge back, but I don't know how much of that's true, obviously.
Yeah.
But
I just thought that was weird.
It was very weird.
What do we think is next for this Edge run? Are we getting another stable together? Or
maybe. But who would he put like the Mysterios?
Maybe. I mean, maybe that's what all those old memorabilia. Maybe get some Mysterios and John. Yeah. And they could have a Survivor Series team.
Yeah, I feel like they'd have to like make this go on a lot longer or something, because like 3 weeks from now he fights Finn
and that's it. And yeah, that's the end of the story.
There was no build up. There was just a betrayal one night, he's gone, not even a month, and he's back, and now it's just like, what do you do with this?
He literally like made the team, and then the next week he just got booted from it. So
right.
Yeah. I don't understand. Like, just doesn't make any sense.
And what are they going to do, too, with Rhea? They're going to have to get another woman into Rey's team. They're going to have to, like, cut Dom out or something. What are they going to do? Just not have Rhea compete? Or Rhea compete?
I don't know. Who's big Rhea rivalry?
Maybe for some reason. You can't throw Bianca in there because he's the champion. I mean, unless her and Rhea are feuding, but...
Charlotte. I think they had a rivalry.
That'd be pretty cool.
Charlotte finally having a face run?
I don't know how well that'd go.
Yeah, I don't think that's... The first thing you want to do with a group, I don't think, is put Charlotte in it. Because right now, she's probably one of the most hated wrestlers. For no reason, too, I might add. That woman's amazing. You guys need to actually start respecting her.
I do. I just think she's just in the picture way too often, but I do like her.
Yeah.
Rousey. Fuck Rousey.
Oh, is that up next? No,
That's later.
We got Happy Corbin versus Pat McAfee. We had two, celebrity matches here with Pat McAfee and Logan Paul. And damn, I want to say that this is better than when we were kids and we were watching like Kevin Federline go out there and take attitude adjustments.
Hey, he beat Cena, though.
He did.
Yeah, I forgot about that.
This was a good match, though. Pat McAfee.
He's impressive in the ring.
Damn. Like, I love him. I think he looked good.
He said Jamie, that was his dream, one day being a superstar since he was a kid. And he finally made it, and he's fucking tearing it up.
I don't know what it is. It's probably just like his, I don't know, his, well, one is charisma, and then two, just... obviously, I'm that guy who didn't watch football or anything like that. I didn't really know much about him until he came here. But as soon as I heard him on commentary and everything, I instantly, like, loved this guy. I was like, he's fucking... I literally, like, he's one of... Like, watching SmackDown highlights are so good. He, like, the energy he brings is so good. Yeah. And Michael Cole seems he just loves working with him, too.
He does.
They're having a blast, too.
And somebody tweeted that. They're like, Pat McAfee makes Michael Cole, like, 10 times better.
Oh,
and I was
100%.
Like... Honestly, like, Pat McAfee with a lot of people. Like, Corey Graves he makes better, too.
Yeah,
like,
I love him. And then, like, Mania and then SummerSlam, he's gotten better every time. He'll probably be, like, a once in every, like, 4 or 5 months type of guy. But it worked. If it makes sense, like, Corbin's doing nothing. But, like, the match, I liked it. Like, same with, like, the whole Logan Paul stuff. Got a few, like, spots in there. He's doing good, and he's loving what he's doing. And they keep it going. So, like, I don't know. I enjoy it.
He did almost slip on the top rope, though.
I did slip it.
So. But he got himself under control and did his move.
Yeah.
It looked good.
Yeah.
I was really curious about your opinion, too, Chandler. Because, yeah, like, me and Luke, we watch, NFL and, the Pat McAfee show and, like, all his crazy shit that he does. You know, so that's cool that, like, even, like, wrestling fans now are, like, on Pat McAfee's side.
They love him.
Oh, yeah.
Wrestling fans love him.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You literally just, like, it could be any promo or any, like, person making an entrance or anything like that. You just hear that dude in the fucking commentary table make one little one-liner, and I, like, just fucking lose my...
He's literally the king 2.0.
Yeah. Yeah. That was going to say, maybe he fills in, like, a king role where, like, if somebody's picked Michael Cole or something, he's the guy that jumps in and takes a match for him,
Yep.
Like what King used to do for JR all the time. I'm like, oh, that'd be great. And, yeah, like, it's good to see, because Michael Cole, I mean, I was there was a long period of time where I was like, this guy just sucks. Like, he's just not good, you know? I just didn't.
Oh, yeah, Michael Cole, 100%.
Yeah, like, I just didn't enjoy him. And then, like, now this Pat McAfee, and even, like, the past couple years.
He's just got this young guy right next to him with a new perspective, and it's, like, rejuvenated his love for what he does.
It reamped his, like, announcing career, I feel.
Yeah.
For sure, for sure. Man, we're gushing over Pat McAfee. I love Pat McAfee.
I loved it. I just like his personality and stuff. I can't say as a person. I don't know him. But, like, from what I see on TV and everything, I like it.
Next match, we had the Street Profits versus the Usos. The Usos, long-ass title reign at this point.
Shout out Crazy Steve. He loves them.
He does love the Usos.
Hell yeah.
They won again, of course. They retained the titles. Montez Ford is, this is a side note, obviously. Montez Ford is looking fucking beefy, dude.
He is.
What the, that dude, I'm telling you, he's about to leave the Street Profits. He's going to start a singles run. He has to.
It sucks because they really don't have any look worthy, but the Street Profits are really good. I would hate that, but like I'd be lying if I said I'm so curious to see him as a singles guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be, I think that'd be cool. It'd be interesting at least.
You thought the first again, and then
you didn't
who's next for him? Who do you think's next?
Oh my god, that's what we're saying. Like, tag team division's kind of tough.
Yeah, it is. I feel like it's kind of short with teams.
Maybe Edge's team can do something. If Edge gets something going.
Well, you gotta think about it. What do they have? The Viking Raiders, the New Day, minus Big E, of course.
Yeah.
And then they have like one other of the Street Profits and the Usos. That's five teams. Like, who can you name that isn't just randomly thrown together? That's all they have.
Yep.
I can't think of anybody. Defended WWE. How many times did we only have the Dudley Boys, Edge and Christian, the Hardy Boys?
Countless times.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Lance Storm and Christian. Like I don't know. You know, there's so many times that they just recycle these tag teams. And right now, this is a good crop to recycle around, though.
You got like Otis and what's his name? Chad Gable?
Yeah.
So then you got the Alpha Academy, that's right.
I guess it's just I forgot.
I feel like it's kind of short, but there's also teams there.
Yeah, but those guys.
There are.
Those,
it's just so hard to remember because a lot of them are left off TV and stuff.
Yep.
Yeah. And, like, you know, it's hard to get those guys, like, going, you know? Like, either the fans like tag teams or they don't. And, like, if you don't care about a tag team, tag team's off the card.
Right.
You know, WWE's we're not wasting time with that shit.
Yeah, and it seems like all they want to do is just break them all up. And Orton's injured, so RK-Bro's not a thing.
Yep.
Yeah, and that was just a good stable too.
It took them a little bit. Well, to get momentum, but as far as the fans, they loved them right off the jump. So, but I don't know.
Luke, you put in here. Do you think this is going to be the last time, or the Montez Ford's going to start a single run here?
Well, he did. Like I put in there, he did fight Seth Rollins on Monday night. The next, obviously coming up, our last weekend. But
and that's a pretty and he big lost. Match just
he
to
looked
have
good.
Him
But obviously, yeah. I think it was just a test to see what he looks like singles.
Mm-hmm. I think he could really... I mean, if they do, like, a big breakup with the Street Profits, too. Like, have him just have a giant either heel turn. Like, don't have him do a Kofi thing where he stays in the fucking group if he has a singles group. I hate those. Those are my least favorite. You got to do the Shawn Michaels thing where he just boots, you know... It's a sad thing. Oh, is that Miss Kit?
Yeah, she's
you got her? Oh, man, that's Luke's cat. I'm keeping this in. I don't even care. But yeah, I think a Montez Ford singles run is warranted here coming up, and I'm pretty excited for it. If they get him with a good heel run, I think that could be pretty damn good.
I would like to see him as like a heel champ one day.
Yeah, and maybe start him out small, you know, mid card. Have him go, you know, up against Bobby or something. Yeah,
have him start off. Yeah.
Next match, goddamn! You put
beer break, baby. Beer break.
100%. Liv Morgan versus Ronda Rousey. This was hands down coming into this match was the most confusing one of the card. Like, I just didn't understand how it was gonna go because you know you can't make Ronda look weak by losing to Liv, and you can't make Liv like cheat or win by disqualification or I don't know do what the hell she just did, which
and it wouldn't
made
be believable for her to go over clean.
Yeah. Exactly. So instead, they do this weird finish that I personally didn't like. Luke, what did you think of it?
I thought it was awful, too. I felt like the match was kind of boring, and then the finish I was confused by.
Well, it's just, you can clearly see in the replays that she tapped for the three, so I'm just like, that doesn't make her look good either.
I'm going to say it, and this happens a lot in the women's division, especially. Sometimes they...
This podcast is brought to you by eHarmony, the dating app to find someone you can be yourself with. Why doesn't eHarmony allow copy and paste in first messages? Because you are unique, and your conversations should reflect that. eHarmony wants you to find someone who will get you. How are you going to know who gets you? If people send you the same generic conversation starters, they message everyone else. Conversations that actually help you get to know each other. Imagine that. Get who gets you on eHarmony. Sign up today.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Get too hyped with some of these people and they push them. I think Liv is one of them. I don't think she's ready for this title run yet. I get it. I mean, they did the same thing with, you know, Super Nikki. Like, no, it's just bad. Like, and I get it, Liv Morgan. She had this strong online fan base, but then you go out there and she's throwing out a dud against Ronda. Then again, was it also, should I not be blaming Liv? Should I be blaming Ronda?
That's true.
Yeah, I don't know. I think...
What happened?
I really liked how far Liv has come since like where she first started with, what was it, the Riot Squad, whenever she came up from
in the years? That's a good group,
too. With Becky Lynch for the Raw title or Raw Women's title, and then now I think she's done good, but I don't know. I'd say I agree. I want to give it a little more time, but it part of me too early for her to win it too.
Yeah, and that's all right. I mean, sometimes you get a Kevin Nash. you get a couple Kevin Nashes.
I think it's like a Kofi run. Honestly, it's just the popularity.
Yeah, I'm trying to think. Chris Jericho, he's a good one. Just a little too early. I think he might have been a little too late. I think blonde hair Jericho could have got a run. Okay, I'm getting off topic. And then we had the main event. The main event, Roman Reigns versus Country Boy Brock Lesnar. Brock Lesnar coming out on the tractor. I loved it, baby. I was like, this is awesome. I was like, they're going to use the tractor a bunch of times. I screamed at my girlfriend multiple times. It was like, look, they're going to jump off the tractor. She didn't give a shit, but it was still cool. Roman Reigns, he won the match. Last man standing match. This was the first last man standing match of Brock Lesnar's career. I didn't know that. Really? I thought that was cool. Really? Yeah, this was the first last man standing match of his career. Reigns won. That was a pretty crazy finish. I really thought Brock was going to get up and push through, but after all the shit got thrown on him, I thought I knew that was about the end. How is this the end of Brock? Like, when are we going to see Brock again?
What do they got built up for him? He lost to Reigns three times now in a row.
And his boy's gone.
He lost the title, and I don't know.
Yeah, Vince is gone too.
I don't think he's done, but it's gonna have to be a pretty good. It's good for him to come back. I feel like maybe
a new champion to face him. Maybe.
Cena.
No, like have Cena. Someone. I don't know. Maybe what? Have like a big.
Why
guy.
Not?
I don't. You never know.
See, Drew McIntyre versus Brock.
Here's an idea. Maybe have him. He could build up a younger star for once. Maybe fucking take a pen.
No, he don't do that.
Huh?
Chandler? He don't do that.
Maybe a new era of Brock?
I really don't know. I honestly, like back a few years ago, I think whatever Mania it was, when I think 35 when we all were at Luke's watching it outside, whenever he put Seth over, that blew my mind.
Yeah, true.
He put Seth over twice. He let Seth pin him clean at SummerSlam.
I'm a very, very critical person of Brock, but I think he's pretty good at putting people over, especially in matches. But
I think he's
kind of
calmed down, and he's had.
I'd be fine with him having a second half run where he's, you know, losing the theory clean or some shit. Like,
they'd have to do something nuts.
Yeah, that might be another Stone Cold walkout for Brock. Stone Cold walked out on him.
Yeah, Brock walks out on him. Out.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
So, also, during this match, Theory came out. He cashed in the money. He tried to cash in the money in the bank. I think they kind of put themselves in a hole there, and they didn't know what the fuck to do. Because they were like, they teased it so much that it really looked like it was going to happen. So, if he just didn't come out, people would be like, what the hell?
He came out too early.
Yeah, and like, why don't you wait till after the ring gets exploded?
Yeah.
You know? Those guys are still in the middle of the match. You know? I thought he was going to do something like jump off the top of the tractor or some shit.
Yeah, Brock already did that at the beginning of the match.
But Theory doing it, like doing a move off it compared to Brock falling off it is not the same.
The ring was like slanted. How's he going to jump off that?
Oh, yeah, true. I mean, I don't know. Do a cool spot. I was trying to figure something out besides what they did.
That would have made a lot more sense if they had the ring go up and then Theory come out, because people would have been looking at the ring and then they would have totally forgotten him.
Like Theory up on top of the ring or something.
Yeah, I think they did bring him out too early then. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, they could have hit him in the tractor.
he just hitches a ride on the back like Brock's tractor. He was there the whole time.
Luke, you put this in here. I mean, you put this whole doc together. I don't know why I keep saying that. But I think this was their best match. I think it was. I can't name a better match. I mean, because this was definitely the most hyped one, for sure. This is one of the few times people were excited for Brock versus Roman.
The latest WrestleMania one was good, where Roman won the titles. But
yeah.
I think this was their best out of all the feuds. Like, what is it, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 matches they've had? This is their best.
And it just wasn't a finisher fest, you know. They actually, like, if this got 4 stars, 5 stars, 4 stars, I'd have been like, damn. 90s, this probably would have got 5 stars, you know. This is a good 90s match. That's what it felt like. Chandler, what'd you think?
I'd say this is their best match. They've had so many, but I didn't mind the WrestleMania match. Like, we all knew it was going to be a finisher fest, but the only thing was, I think the match was like less than 10 minutes, which sucked for such a big build-up. But this one was longer. I think the match was a lot better. I think it finished their story up really nice. And, yeah, I liked it.
I'm adding this in here. Do we actually think it's going to be the last time these guys fight each other?
No. No.
That's a money hole right there. Roman versus Brock.
Sadly. People get annoyed of it, but it is.
Yeah, people and like
keep
you
saying
said,
they're annoyed,
too.
But they're gonna keep squashing. My only thing is I don't know because Brock will probably be gone for at least a little bit.
Yeah,
I don't know if he'll be on the next Mania. Roman's schedule's like dumb and down hardcore.
Yeah,
so he's getting the Brock schedule.
Yeah,
yeah. He quit live events, and he's doing like every 1 month SmackDown. And
sooner or later, they're gonna have his next challenger start calling him out like back all those years ago. They're probably gonna do that. He's gonna rehash that.
Oh god! Yeah, that's gonna be the new. They're just gonna recycle.
He's gonna
the
be the new Brock. Which to be, it's honestly to me, I think it's gone on long enough, but. 2 years of a reign for Roman Reigns for me, but
I know
Heyman, his heel persona, everything they have done so blows my mind. I love it.
Also, speaking of Heyman, I just want to point out that dude took a hell of a bump in that match. Hell yeah,
F5
through the fucking table for old Paulie, the Walrus. I love it. That was good shit.
It was.
Is this? And like you said, it's been 2 years for that reign. This entirety of this reign I've been, like, okay with. But I think I'm kind of getting to the point where I'm like, all right, I feel like the light's about to go out here. Or it needs to start dimming at least.
I felt that way over the last like year. They need him to be there more to help build up things, and then I'd care about it just a little bit more. Like he was in the beginning. His whole first year, he was there week in, week out. But like now, he just it's kind of feeling like he doesn't care as much anymore, just because he's not there.
Yeah. Like realistically, how long do we think this is gonna? If we had to pick a pay per view, which one would you guys pick that Roman loses it?
I'm going the next one.
Yeah, really?
Yep.
You think it's, yeah, it's time?
I think it's going to be huge. That's their first UK pay-per-view in so long. It's against McIntyre. Clean? That pop. I think
it's clean, too. What's his finisher? That kick,
that
right?
Claymore? Yeah.
Claymore kick, yeah.
I think he like takes that, and it's over.
Hometown.
Maybe
hometown
with the title
boy,
in his face?
Huge ass pop.
Maybe have Paulie turn sides?
But does he take both titles, or is it one? Because is it time to split up the titles?
I think
no.
so.
No. If Roman's going to lose it, yeah, I guess you got a point. Yeah.
My only thing with that is that I think right now, until we get more tag team belts unified, but as far as the world championship, they have so many singles guys, break them up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There's no way. In theory, this is the best way theory can win a belt.
Here's an idea.
You put it
here's
on some
idea.
Other dude.
This is a SmackDown match, so he wins the blue belt, right? Drew McIntyre?
Yeah.
The match is over. Roman's in the ring. Theory's on Raw. He comes out, wins that title.
Cashes it? Look at that, Luke.
What about a finish like that?
He gets a Kurt Angle finish from WrestleMania 2000?
So the titles are split on two different champs, and then two different brands again.
I hope they do that, because then McIntyre would look... It would make him look strong. Roman could be written off for as long as he wants to go away, come back, or destroy Theory, whatever you want to do. But that would, because that'd be like a controversial thing too. But then he could pin Roman while he's out, take the other belt. That would be so good if they did that. I think.
You guys keep talking because I'm putting that down. We're getting that into a fucking TikTok.
I didn't even think about that, Luke. That's freaking. That would be. Oh
you guys
God.
Had you guys both have had some good hot
that's
takes
what I'm
today.
Saying.
I love it.
They need to split up the titles and do.
Yeah, that's the best way to do it. Honestly, I cannot think of a better way to do it, because then it's like, all right, Roman already lost clean, like, and then Theory comes out like beaten man, fucking takes the other one,
and that wouldn't make him look weak against Theory because he was already down and out.
No, exactly.
And then McIntyre wouldn't get cashed in on, so he wouldn't look weak either.
True. True,
but
genius idea.
That also kind of blows the finish for McIntyre winning the title at that event.
Oh, yeah, true, because then it all goes on Theory. That's the big thing, though.
Yeah.
Mm,
with Theory, care, though.
Yeah, true.
So. Yeah, I wonder. That'd be nice.
Yeah, maybe that's like you're bumping McIntyre. He gets like a little moment, and then like once the moment's done, you can even throw a fucking confetti everywhere and then have him, you know.
Draw it out.
Yeah, draw it out.
People least expect it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, make it, like, bigger than when Lex Luger got a count out against Yokozuna, you know?
Yeah, he took his all over the
place. Express, baby.
That.
You can have Sheamus and Butch, like, carry him around. Celebrating Scotland. Celebrating Scotland, you know? I'm trying. You could play Roddy Piper's theme in the back. Okay. Anybody? So overall, what do we think about first SummerSlam with Triple H? How many stars out of five we can give this pay per view? Chandler, I'll let you go first.
Oh man.
Or do you want to go? You want to skip? Because I can just make one up on the spot.
I'd say, out of five, I'd say probably about like a. Say like a 3.8.
Nice. I like that. Chandler's really specific with it. Luke, what do you think?
I'd say everything's about four out of five.
Yeah, it was pretty solid show.
I'll probably go four, just because entertainment wise, like, you know, this was a good entertaining pay-per-view. It might not have been like the best matches of all time, but they were really, really solid matches. Just a couple stingers. You know,
I like that Triple H is able to make his mark a little bit, because this was in the midst of Vince everything. So like
in the middle, it's
going to be a mostly Vince McMahon set in stone show. But I like that Triple H got to put some tidbits in there, like Bayley and Dakota and EO.
Yeah,
and just
do we
want to
spend a little tidbit talking about Triple H and Vince? Like what we like think. I mean, Vince McMahon obviously if you guys don't know, if you listen to a wrestling podcast and you don't know that Vince McMahon's out in WWE, I don't know what the hell you're doing. But yeah, Vince is out. I mean, we've already seen, you know, Ciampa got a dub Monday night. Like, all these guys are starting to finally get, you know, show their true potential.
It's Triple H's guys, though.
They're Triple H's guys. Exactly. But that's the thing. Like, is this going to work? You think this is going to hit? Like, the old NXT kind of in WWE 2.0?
I think they have it in them. It's just whether or not they finally, like, lift the reins up on them and let them go out there and talk and do stuff. And I don't know, because Ciampa's great. I love him. And another thing is with
clean
him in charge
win over
now,
AJ. Clean
yeah,
win.
That was huge. Like, he hasn't won a title or a world title in like a few years, but like that's a big win for Ciampa. And then also with Triple H in charge now, that's kind of why I'm interested to see where they go with Judgment Day, because I don't think he just sits there and just craps on Priest or Balor. I think he's getting with them.
True, and which it felt like they might get crapped on for a little
right,
bit.
That's where it was going. But who knows now?
Luke?
I like it so far. I think he's bringing in people that actually want the fans or the universe to see, instead of just the same old bland guys every week, every in and out.
True. I agree with you. All right. I mean, we've already talked 40 plus minutes about WWE here, so I just want to add a little snidbit about AEW. We don't have to talk about a bunch of AEW stuff. I just want each one of yours. I want something that you like and don't like that they're doing right now, like that you're really enjoying, like a storyline, a push, a character just in general. I want to hear it, and something that you also, you know, you're not enjoying. Luke, let's go with you first here, big dog.
Personally, what happened over on Wednesday, the Ass Boys versus what's the team, Chandler?
The Acclaimed.
The Acclaimed. That match was stupid, but it's funny because the finish was what Mick Foley and Chainsaw Charlie versus the Out New Age Outlaws, where they threw them in the trash can, threw them off. Well, the Ass Boys were in the trash can, and the Acclaimed threw them off. So I think that was funny. And then
who's the guy that raps on the Acclaimed? Do either one of you know?
I don't know his name, but
Max
he's good.
Caster, I think.
Yeah, that's it.
I liked him.
I think that's it. But I liked him, he fun. Like, I get like, I loved old school Cena and everything, but like Cena raps slow. Like this dude's actually like spitting bars and like good, and he's got
and
like
it's
good
to his music too.
Yeah, like it's like he's giving me like old school Cena vibes. I'm really enjoying it. I like that one, Luke. That trash can match was always fun.
One thing I don't like about AEW is their pay per views. I think they only have like 4 or 5.
Yeah,
I think they need to bump it up. Have a big one at the end of the year and
take away like they have too many TV shows too. I mean, that's. I don't give a fuck about Rampage or whatever the hell it is.
Nobody's watching Friday, and nobody's watching the YouTube shit. So
yeah, they had the YouTube stuff. I think it's just because they have too many wrestlers. Chandler, what do you think?
That's what I was going to say is what I don't like is their I think it was a – well, I mean, they have so many – their roster's already getting so bloated, so I think they need a Friday show. But the one thing I don't like is they make their Friday show, their secondary show, feel like just that, a secondary show. They don't make it feel as – it feels like their dark show, whatever that YouTube show is they have. It's just not, they don't make it feel as important. I don't know. My favorite thing is how shows, well, at least to me, how good they're doing and how much they care about building up their future, like Wardlow, Darby Allin, what they're doing
with Jungle Boy
right now and Christian. They're like,
yeah, it's good for Jungle Boy. This is going to be a good rivalry for him. I
like
him and Christian.
Doing really good at like building up what their future is going to look like.
That's getting serious. Yeah, those promos are getting hot.
Yeah.
So that's what you like and don't like. Those are your two. Okay. I like how like you get the Ring of Honor guys and like they just incorporate other companies really well. Like New Japan too, and they bring the other belts too. You know, that was always the coolest thing. You know, going back and you look at like 90s WWE, 90s WWF, I guess you should say, when they brought in like you had those ECW runs where people just forget about that. I'm like, holy shit, Sabu. Like, I get pumped because, you know, I'm a mark. I get excited. It's like, holy shit, that's Sabu. Like, Sabu's like, in, you know, and he's starting a rivalry with Jerry the King Lawler. It's like, I like to see, you know, the wrestlers from outside come in. I think that's really cool. The thing I don't like, I mean, I'm going to be honest. I don't think I like the three-man commentary thing. Because I think Taz is great. I love Taz. Jim Ross is great. I the guy in the mask, I like him too. Excalibur.
I think it's four-man sometimes.
Yeah, and Tony Schiavone.
Comes out like at the last hour.
Yeah, and then they throw out Tony Schiavone. I'm like, that's just, I feel like, you know, separate it. Put, you know, make, if you want Rampage to be something, put two. I know they do a different announce team. I think it's like Big Show and Henry or some shit. I know he's announcing somewhere. But, like, it just seems like you got too many A-listers in one movie that they're not getting enough screen time. You know,
I feel like you should just have it be like Taz and Schiavone.
Yeah, and, like, maybe you should have kept Taz just being a manager. He was doing a great job. Taz could have been a hell of a heel manager. I love the whole Taz Mission Club or whatever the hell he's doing. I thought that was cool.
He just broke that all up, too, because they pretty much just turned on Starks. And Taz announced that he's done with Team Taz. I want him to come out. I want him to manage his son, Hook. I want him.
Yeah. Hook just won the World Championship.
Yeah.
He broke that. Starks had that for like 372 days or something.
Yeah. I like Starks too. He's gonna be great. Oh.
I'm also not used to. I'm not used to companies like going out there and like the their Jericho and Moxie build up where Jericho came out and he's like, "Oh, I'm gonna be the first ever 2-time AEW champion." I was like, you guys only won it twice? What the fuck? Ric Flair or Jerry the King Lawler is like, I would be a 55-time heavyweight champion, you know?
Well, I mean,
like,
I'm just not interested. Been around for 3 years.
Yeah.
But
what do you guys think about the Jericho and Moxie feud getting going here?
I've liked their promos.
Yeah. That Kingston match was sickening.
It was.
Also, why is Moxie? Also, another thing I hate. Why the fuck does Moxie bleed every damn match? He's looking like Ric Flair at 75 years old.
It's not just him. It's the whole main event guys. Jericho does it every time. Kingston.
Yeah, I mean, like, it's great every once in a while, but it's just like, you don't have to do it every week.
No, you guys are going to turn into like an ECW where people don't take you seriously. You know. All right, I'm done talking about ECW or AEW. Time to talk about some real wrestling. Let's talk about Ric Flair's last match.
Yes, sir.
He came out there styling and profiling. It's him and Andrade versus Jay Lethal and Jeff Jarrett. And damn.
It was definitely worth $30 or $60, whatever it was.
Somebody tweeted, they're like, it's like if you rode Space Mountain and it stopped at the top. And that was it. Like, it just didn't go down. This was bad. This was really bad. Best moment? I don't know what the fuck to say else
there
about this.
There is no best moment.
Best moment?
Rick bleeding?
Rick, yeah, oh God. No, that was the worst moment. My girlfriend said, and I quote, "Why is that old man bleeding so much?" And I'm like, I don't know. He was just laying on the ground at that point. He wasn't even getting hit.
He was.
And now he's wrestling again, isn't he? He's wrestling in Puerto Rico?
Supposedly. That's
the thing. Yes.
Wait, what?
The title of the pay-per-view.
Like, done.
He's promoting with Andrade that they're... maybe they're just going to be at, like, a, you know, visiting somewhere, but he's in wrestling gear, and it looks like him and Andrade are wrestling. And people are joking about it online, too, so...
I watched up a little earlier, like, after Jay Lee... Flair was just laying there. I thought he was crying. Flair was just laying there. I'm like, why? Why are you doing this?
There was a point in the match where Andrade was putting the brass knucks on Ric Flair's hand, and Ric Flair pushed him off. He just threw the knucks off.
Because
he couldn't, like, he literally could not get up. He couldn't get up.
There was a spot where he was on the apron, and Andrade tagged him. And he's just rolling in, trying to get up.
Yeah, because after they did the suplex off the top, he was done. You guys keep talking for a little bit. I'm about to cough.
I don't know. It was something else. But that was like pretty much the only one I watched a little bit of. I didn't watch like the whole pay-per-view, so I don't really know much of what all the other matches were.
Yeah, I didn't either. I mean, it had some names on there, but that was the only match I cared about was Ric Flair.
You didn't watch the Briscoe one?
No.
No. I thought, yeah, you were big on that for a little bit.
Oh, the Briscoe brothers? Maybe.
I like them versus FTR, but that's the only reason why.
Jeff Jarrett also looked good in this match.
Yeah.
He did. He's in good shape.
Can Jeff Jarrett get another like little run somewhere? I mean, Booker T's kind of doing some independent circuit stuff. Maybe do something like that. I'm sure
he
is.
Have Jarrett win the IC title and just be a heel like he was back in the day.
Yeah. Just copying Ric Flair's flow, word for word. Right.
Pretty much.
Okay. Final thoughts on Ric Flair before we put him in the coffin.
It was awful. That match is awful.
There's no way you're not going to hear that and not watch it, but it just made me uncomfortable.
It was sad. Like, that's the word I'll use to describe it.
Like,
it's
if you
want
to do it, go out on your own terms. I fully understand that and everything, but it's just
I do respect it.
I respect just the fuck out of it. Watch.
Yeah, like, Rick, I mean, you're a trooper for doing it, but goddamn, don't do it again. Please don't do it again.
Next week, he'll probably Puerto do it again.
He's, woo! He'd probably be more than happy to die in that ring.
Okay. I think we're good. We're good? We got nothing else to talk about. I didn't know that you threw the Triple H stuff at the bottom.
I did.
But I think we hit all the points. I guess. I mean, I'm just going to throw people under the bus like I usually do here. How about at the end of every podcast, we talk about a guy that we want to see get pushed?
All right.
How's all that sound? I'll start. I think I want a Finn Balor push. If you're going to go hard with this Judgment Day stuff, give me a Finn Balor push. Give him a title reign that doesn't last a day and his shoulder breaks. I want to see him actually go to work. You got Triple H in there. You could put on some hell of good matches with AJ Styles and, you know, insert name here with Finn Balor. And if you actually get a good character and gimmick going and you get the stable going, I think they could be a serious threat. But you got to, you know, redefine the lines here. You know, even if you look back at Evolution, when Evolution was forming, it was a little creaky at the beginning. You know, that's why you had to add Randy Orton and Batista. You know, like Rick and Triple H were the only two at one point. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's my pick. Whoever wants to go first,
Chandler.
Oh, God. Right. Chandler.
I want to see Kevin Owens come back to the main event.
Hell yeah.
I
want to
see like 2016 Owens again.
That's a good one.
I agree with that one.
You're going with... Oh, damn. I was about to say, you can't do the same one.
Ah, man. I'm trying to think here. What about Otis again, baby?
Otis.
He was Money in the Bank champ. Or Money in the Bank winner for a minute.
You want a singles run, or you think him and Gable can get a tag team run?
I think they could take it off the Usos, because they were back. They were in the spotlight a couple pay-per-views ago.
Who's supposed to hold the belt for so long? You're going to have Otis and Gable take it from him?
I think they did before.
Honestly, they
had multiple shots.
Yeah.
I'm all honestly, for him, I like Otis. Whatever he's doing before him and, what was it, Tucker? I forgot their... As long as they're not doing that goofy stuff, like, because, I mean, he's just a goofy guy, but I want to be a serious monster heel.
I mean, that's what they were doing with, what's his name? Gable. And they were over, I felt. They were doing good.
Yeah, I thought they were doing good with them, and then they just kind of derailed it, it feels like. But
the RKO
wanna...
thing kind of screwed them, too. Yeah. Because they were going against them, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like Otis's heel. I think Otis is just a good face. He's a good face.
Yeah, but I just don't believe him as a face, because he's just going to do all that goofy shit.
So yeah, like the Mandy Rose gimmick?
Yeah.
But it's like, it's hard not to see him in that role anymore, though.
That's true.
That's why they need to be serious, because they still have him with Gable doing little goofy spots.
Yeah. The math test
Yeah, if they stop with the goofy stuff and just have them be a good heel, like on fire heel winning team, like I think that would be good for him.
Yeah,
Gable,
like,
because Gable's awesome, too.
True. Reverse Brodus Clay him. Get him to a point where he's just a big monster heel. Have him pull a Snitsky and like kick somebody's baby or something.
I could see that happening. Something stupid like that.
Yeah, Otis doing something. Yeah,
I could
have him just stop talking and just make noises like Umaga.
Oh yeah.
That's a good way to end the pod. All right, that's it. I mean, I don't really know how to end this. I usually say, somebody say the word, say what to do, but I guess, Luke, you know what to say.
What am I saying?
Oh, my fucking God.
P-W-O.
P-W-O. P-W-O. P-W-O. That's a good way to end it. I don't even care if it's spread the word.
We'll end it on that.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Megan Rinks.
And I'm Melissa D. Montz.
And like every other person with access to a microphone, we started a podcast.
On Mondays, we release Don't Blame Me, which is an advice podcast where listeners call in and we share our thoughts on situations such as what to do if you're going to your boyfriend's family function and you haven't told him that you previously slept with both his twin brothers.
Then on Thursdays, we release our podcast, But Am I Wrong?, where we ethically gossip about pop culture, politics, our lives, and your lives. Listeners write in and we tell them if they're wrong or right in a situation. Are you the hero or the villain?
On Tuesdays and Fridays, we throw in a little something extra as well.
A little something, something. We strive to create a community grounded in activism, mental health, and inclusivity. Think of us as like your blunt, honest friends who give you advice that you need to hear, not what you want to hear. But we're also always rooting for your success. What we lack in credentials, we make up for in...
opinions.
We do that in every episode, too.
We're professional, unprofessional, so if you're looking for a new slate of podcasts to add to your routine, we're here for you.
Acast recommends.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.